I also wanted to bless you, Jason and Charity, and Joanna. I want you to know that from my heart, and I think I can speak from the hearts of the brothers here, that we have confidence in you. We're trusting you to go and do the right thing, to give the heart of the Lord to other people. And we have confidence. We are assured that your time over there will be worthwhile, that you will be a blessing. We feel confident of that. So God bless you as you go. Well, we greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. And what that means to me, I probably said this before, and I'd like to portray this to you, that we're here because we have a greater cause. We have a greater, there is something greater behind us. There is something greater that we want to emphasize. There is a reason, and we have all the authority of heaven behind us to be here. We greet you in Jesus' name. I believe, and I think we all believe, that God is looking down upon this little group here today, and many groups, but on this one also, and he is smiling. I know he knows each of your hearts. I know he knows that. But I also think that he's smiling when he looks down, because he sees a collective group of people here who have a desire to worship him today. So if I could just put in your heart a little bit, God is smiling on this congregation. God is pleased with us. Our motives, I believe, are right. So let's return back to him. We're not giving back today in a form of worship some God that we fear and afraid he's going to do something that we don't like, or something he's going to forget about us and he's going to let us be subject to all the other things that's out there. But we have a God who's looking down upon us and cares about all of us, every one of us. I know y'all know that. I'd like to talk this morning. I'd like to ask you this question. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? And I'd like to emphasize to you that we need to think about what we're thinking about. That our thoughts are not just random things that come and go and they don't matter. And I don't know what I was thinking about all day long. I'd like to encourage us to think about what you're thinking about. Recognize what's going on when you think. As you think about what you're thinking about, as you think about your thoughts, recognize that there is something going on that doesn't meet the eye in your heart because of what you think about. It's also true that what you think about comes out of your heart. What you have fed yourself is also what comes out in your thoughts. So what are you thinking about? And are you thinking about what you're thinking about? First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. If you want to turn there, I'll read a verse there. This is David talking to Solomon. God has talked to David and told him some things about Solomon and who's going to reign after him and what his place is. But now in verse 9, chapter 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, he says, this is David talking to Solomon. He says, "And thou, Solomon, my son," a father talking to a son. He has some important things to say. He knows that his time is close. His time is nearing the end. And he has some things he wants to say to his son because he knows they're important. And he says, "And now, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. He says to his son, son, I want you to put effort into knowing the God of thy father, the God that I worship, the Almighty God. Son, I want you to take some time and I want you to put some effort into thinking about this God. Know thou the God of thy father. And I say to you sons, and we're all sons, but to you young men, sons, as you observe your father, this is putting a responsibility on you, father, but I'm going to say this, sons, pay attention to what your father does, what he says, how he thinks. Sons, pay attention. Pay attention. There's something to learn there. You have something to learn. And I could say to you, daughters to your mothers, or even daughters to your fathers, there's something to learn there. Son, he says, and thou, Solomon, my son, I believe, I like to think of it as being said in a way that David was intense when he was saying this, because he said, I have some things to tell you that's important. He said, son, know thou the God of thy father. What you're thinking, what do you think? He says, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Sons, watch your fathers. They're not God, but they represent God. They have a responsibility. Know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Not because I have to, but because I get to. I'm willing to serve my Father in heaven. With a perfect heart, a heart that is clean and pure, a heart that is, that the motivations are right. This is what God is saying, Solomon is saying to his son, and he's saying, serve him, serve the God of thy father, serve Almighty God with a perfect heart, a clear heart, a heart that is not tainted with other things. That's not a divided heart. It's a heart that's intent on one thing, a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. Serve him with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of thy thoughts. Why? Because God knows. God knows all of our thoughts. God knows the good thoughts. God knows the bad thoughts. And he knows everything about what we think. And so Solomon is, or David is saying to Solomon, and I think God is saying to us this morning, serve him with a complete and pure heart. Willingly, gladly. This is my purpose in life. Ultimately, underneath of all things I do, or maybe I should say overshadowing everything I do, is the desire, the intention, the motivation to serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for God knows your hearts and understandeth all the imagination of your thoughts. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows what your motivations are. He knows all those kinds of things. And if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. I wonder, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. You will find him. If you seek him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, with all your heart, he will be found of thee. You'll find him. But if thou forsake him, if you do not do these things, if you pay no attention to your thoughts, if you let your thoughts just run and there's nothing there, and if you're, even if your thoughts are evil or wrong, he says, he will cast thee off forever. Our thoughts and how we think about God are important. And what we think about is important, because God knows them all. It's important what we are thinking about. My intention here this morning is to bring our attention to the fact that Our thoughts, they lead us to many things, but one thing they do, they affect our words, and our words affect our actions, and our actions affect and create our character. I want to talk about our thoughts this morning, how important our thoughts are. You know, I have driven for miles down the road with my wife sitting over here beside of me. And we're not talking. We talk a lot, but sometimes we don't. And she might take a little nap or something. She'd say, well, what'd you think about? And you know what I said? Nothing. I'm convicted. That's not the way God wants me to think. He wants me to think. And all that wasted time I spent thinking about letting this car go by and that truck go by and the scenery and the landscape and that mountain over there. Well, that's not all wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong, but there's something better. I'm saying to us this morning, I'm saying to myself this morning, brothers and sisters, let's take our thoughts and do something with them. Pay attention to what we're doing. If we're not doing anything with them, do something with them. If they're just simply muddling along out here in whatever way we want to just relaxedly, and there's a place for that. I'm not going to take that all away. But in general, I want us to recognize, I want to emphasize the fact that our thoughts ultimately lead to our destination, our destiny. Think about what you're thinking about. I suppose my desire that is in my heart for you is born out of a desire in my heart for me. I'll say this. I long to somehow be able to be a blessing to you as a congregation, as I stand before you for the next half an hour or so. I long that somehow I might, by the grace of God, turn your minds to God. And when you walk out of this building, you're a little different than you were when you came in. You have something to hold on to. You have something to take home with you. Something you can grow on. Something you can feed on. Something that will motivate you and give you encouragement for the rest of your week and your life. I long to do that. I know, and I'll admit that we have this every Sunday. It kind of becomes something we expect. Whereas on the converse, if you have people who do not have this and suddenly they get to come in and do this, they're going to soak up everything they can. They're going to be intent on getting everything they can out of this message and out of this service and out of this congregation. And I think we do too. But I think it might be possible that we take it for granted sometimes. Not an accusation. I'm talking because my longing for you, me to you, comes out of my longing for me. I long also to take something home with me. Take something, put something in my life that'll change me. For whatever that's worth, that is my longing. That's my prayer and my desire. Speaking of prayer, let's do bow our heads now and have a prayer before we go on. Father, we come to you again, in the name of Jesus, the man who walked on this earth, the man who shed his life blood, the man who was a sacrifice for all mankind. He died there. He was your son. He was there in the tomb for 3 days, and he arose again then after that third day, and he ascended back to the Father, back to you, and is now seated at your right hand. Hallelujah. Father, help us to somehow let that fact settle down a little deeper, a little more solidly, a little more assuredly in our hearts. This is what Jesus did for us. And it was necessary that he do that for us. So, Father, we pray, God, now I pray, open our hearts to understand. Open our hearts to be taught something from you, that we might go home a little different. I pray for that, Lord. And every heart here, that we might not be distracted with the thoughts of yesterday or the hopes of tomorrow, but rather we would be focused on today We would hear what you have to say. And you told us, you said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You just think about today. I'll take care of tomorrow. You take care of today. You just worry, deal with today. I pray, Father, help us to do that. That we might learn something, that we might grow somehow, that we might ultimately in the end have honored you every day with all of our life. In everything we say, in everything we do, everything we think. Amen. I have several scriptures here I want to go through. I'll try to do them quickly. I have several. But in Psalm 139, verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." This is a prayer that David was praying, and this is a prayer we can pray also. Oh God, know my thoughts. You know, I think, at least I can, maybe you can too. When I pray that prayer, I am praying actually for the Lord to change me. To be a little more, maybe a lot more, is a better way to say it, aware of God knowing my thoughts and that they matter. To be a little more aware. Try me. Try me. Put me to the test to see what my thoughts are. Try me. I think it was just last week we were down at DR there at Sarah Nero's wedding. And one of the local men there had a little opening. And he talked a bit about patience. One of his comments was that when we pray for patience, we can expect trials. Because that's how God works. He doesn't just, here's some patience for you. But many times it is because we are tried. And we'll get to this later, but we are tried. That's what God is doing. That's how God gives us what we want to have many times. He tries us. He makes us exercise like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. Change me. Try me. Exercise me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me at all. And lead me in the way everlasting. And if there is any wicked way in me, show it to me. Whatever that takes. Whatever it takes. That's a pretty big prayer. Whatever it takes. There have been people pray that prayer and they paid a dear price for what they prayed for. All in God's hands, but they've done it. And it happens. I am going to assume that all of us have prayed the prayer that says, in this essence, maybe I haven't prayed these exact words, "Lord, I want to be your servant. I want you to make me more like you. I want you to guide me in the way of truth and life. I want you to make me holy." We probably all prayed that prayer. Those of us who have given our heart to God, we probably all prayed that prayer. You know, that's a big prayer. Many times, from my experience, not a whole lot happens that I can see. Sometimes things do happen. We might pray, "Lord, whatever it takes, just..." And then give your, what you, just do this. Well, sometimes that's a pretty high cost to pay. But that's what we pray when we pray this prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Do we really mean it? I believe we do. But at the same time, pretty big prayer. Now the question will become, if I pray that prayer and God gives me something that I think is pretty hard, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? Am I going to resist it and say, Lord, get me out of this thing? Am I going to embrace it and say, Lord, don't let it go away until I've learned what you want me to learn. Don't let it go away until I've learned what you want me to learn. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, I have three verses here I'd like to read to you. I'll just read them right through, then comment on them. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. To know what was in thine heart. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, thinking, what are your thoughts as you live your life? God says, I want you to remember, I want you to think about these things I've done. I want you to think about what happened in your life. He's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness when they were there, but I'm saying to us this morning, God wants us to think about what is going on in our life. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee all thy life to humble thee and to prove thee. Think about those things. Those things are good to remember. The way the Lord, when we prayed that prayer, Lord, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way. Know my thoughts. Try me. What did he do back there? What did he do when those things happened to me? Think about those things. It's important what we think about. It's very important what we think about. And the Lord has a way, his purpose in all these things that happen in life. They're not just happenstances. They're purposeful things. You have a situation in your life and they just happened, and it just, you didn't count on it or call for it or ask for it or anything, but it just happened. Whatever it was, whatever it is, those things are all things that lead us, that help us to understand God is working in those things. And now he wants us to remember those things. Remember how God led us. Remember what God did to us and for us. He did it to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. He gives you these things so that we can see who we are. Think about these things. Many times in the New Testament, then, it talks about, and Jesus knowing their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. I don't think he knew their thoughts because he was a man on earth. I think he knew their thoughts because he was God. He had connection with his Father. He knew their thoughts because he had connection. Today, our thoughts today are not unknown to God. They are known. God knows all of your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. That's not a threat. Actually, that can be a threat if you're afraid or ashamed of them. That can be a challenge. But it's a blessing if we look at them as, these of my thoughts are good thoughts. These are my thoughts are holy thoughts. We're glad God knows those things. Several times he talks about that. Let's see. In Luke, he says, and the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things and they derided him. And he said, Jesus said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's in there. God knows. It's not something we can hide just because nobody else sees. God knows. God knows all your thoughts. Just as if you spoke them out loud. Just as if you acted them out. Just as if that's who you were. Your character. God knows your thoughts. He said that many times there. He said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. That's another subject. Luke chapter 2, Simeon there, when Joseph and Mary came to the temple that day, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Jesus' mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. And he says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. He tells Mary that. That for a sign that shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Because he was prophesying, he was telling us that Jesus was going to come. He was going to grow to be a set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And he was going to be, and that's going to be a sign. There's going to be people accept him. There's going to be people reject him. There's going to be a falling. There's going to be a rising. There's going to be all that. And he is going to be spoken against. This sign, this Jesus, and for a sign, he said, this, he's set for the fall and rising, for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Think about what you're thinking about, because it's not unknown. And we have the opportunity to, I'd like to think we all think good thoughts, and we probably do. Some thoughts we think may not be so good, but God knows them. Or some of our thought life, some of our thought time is just kind of nothing there. God knows that too. And I believe that it matters to God what we think about. Several times, and he knew their thoughts, and Jesus perceived their thoughts. It talks about that. My point in all that is, God knows your thoughts. Hebrews, the writer there says, the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit. It just simply, there is nothing it does not understand. The word of God covers everything. It is able to discern this, to divide this, to understand this. The word of God can do that. And let me go on. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many times, I've seen it many times, and I've not seen it sometimes too, where if we're talking to someone and we want to make a point or we want to encourage them some way, and we can give all of our words, and they're good words, but when you bring in the scriptures, there's no question. Nobody can question or challenge the scriptures. It's true. It's ultimate. It is what it says. It is what it is. And those scriptures, they can make us realize what we're thinking sometimes and help us to understand what we should be thinking, what we shouldn't be thinking. The scriptures can do that. So never underestimate the power of the scriptures, the power that God has put into his word. That has a power to not only, well, it is a discerner and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It understands this word of God. It is able to help us to see who we really are. In Romans, Paul to the Romans says, for I say to the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly. Think carefully. But think. And think about what you're thinking about. Sometimes thoughts enter our mind. Sometimes they're good thoughts. At least it is with me, and I suppose it's probably the same with you. Sometimes they're good thoughts. Sometimes they're not good thoughts. Sometimes they are temptations. These thoughts enter our mind. What about this? And you might think a thought, and I'm not going to even suggest what they may be. But I'm going to suggest to you that there is a difference between a thought entering your mind and sin. The man with a sensitive conscience, and that probably should be all of us, maybe more than we are sometimes, maybe a little more sensitive, but the man with the overly sensitive conscience is going to possibly look at that and say, oh, I thought the thought, it must be a sin, I need to repent. Well, that's not all bad, but the fact of the matter is that can control you, and that thought is, then that is what is, that's overpowering you, and you become nothing but a ball of concern and worry, and you just, you're all focused on that. You can't do anything else. But I'm going to suggest to you that a thought entering your mind, just simply, and if it's an evil thought, it's a thought you don't want to have, does not have to necessarily be sin. I don't want to minimize sin, not in any way. But I do want to say, I think there's a difference. The difference is, the thought entering your mind, and you do something with it, what you do with it makes the difference. You can let that thought be there, and that I kind of like that. And it's an evil thought. That's sin. It's that quick. What's not sin is when you recognize that it is an evil thought and you say, absolutely not. That's out of here. I have some points I want to go through to help you, I think will help us to know how to deal with those thoughts. But at this point, I just want to say that there is a difference. And you know, sometimes when that thought comes in, we immediately have a choice to make. What are we going to do with that thought? What are we going to do with it? And sometimes it comes in and our responses are just almost immediate. I'm suggesting to us, we should take that thought and think about what we're thinking about. Cultivate in our minds this idea that what I'm thinking about, I need to know what I'm thinking about, not just, but think about what you're thinking about to the extent that you recognize that is not going to be a good thought, that has to go. Sometimes that thing comes in, and if we have cultivated in our minds or allowed our minds to allow, let's just use the example of anger. If we have a problem with anger, so here comes a thought, and it just kind of like, it's a thought that it's going to make me angry. I know it is. I'm suggesting to us, let's cultivate in our minds that every thought that comes in, immediately we're going to do something with it. We do something with it. Our minds are amazing. You might think, that's too much, Brother Mark. That's just filling me up. I can't think that many thoughts. Probably you can. That's amazing what our minds do. And you all know that. I don't need to go there. But anyway, my point is, take into thought, into captivity every thought. And I'll get to that scripture later too. Take into captivity that thought. Grab hold of it and say, what are you going to do with this? And you do something with it. You don't let it fester there and try to decide what to do with it. Do something with it. Acknowledge it as sin or acknowledge it as good. And do something with it. I use the example of anger. Lust can come in. What are you going to do with that? Gossip, you hear something, you have a thought, what is that about? What are you going to do with that? I'm suggesting think about what you think about. Be aware. And you know, many times what that will do, and it's not all bad for some of us, what that will do is slow us down in our responses, in our whether it be verbal responses or whether it be our actions. Well, wait a minute. That's a thought. I need to consider what that is. And your mind can do amazingly fast things. Faster than a computer, if I can say that. let's just take into consideration and consider what we're thinking about. Make that an aspect about us that is, we're continually thinking about what we're thinking about. Is this worthwhile? Is this good? Is this bad? Is it not good? Not bad? And do something with it. Now, I'm going to suggest to you, I have 7 points here. I'm going to suggest to you, there are ways to deal with these thoughts. There are ways to control our minds and to teach our minds. And number one, and I've already mentioned this briefly, number one is read the Bible with an intention to learn, not just to read the Bible, and maybe get something out of it that you can learn something later, and that's not bad. But I'm saying read it with, what can I learn from this today? What is there in it for me? Let it speak to you. That can be one way, I believe, can help us to discern those thoughts coming in, what we're going to do with them. Read the Bible. And then use the Bible. It's still under that one, number one. Use the Word of God to deal with those thoughts that come that you want to deal with. Use the Bible. Use the Word of God. Jesus was our supreme example there on Matthew 4. You all know about it. He's taken up there in the wilderness and on the temple and wherever else he was. And he's tempted those 3 times. And he used the Word of God 3 times, all the times, to deal with the situation. Read the Bible to understand it, to deal with those thoughts that come into your mind. And I'm going to suggest this also. If you are especially weak in an area, maybe you have a problem with anger. Maybe you have a problem with lust. Maybe you have a problem with whatever it may be. Find scriptures ahead of time that deal with that. Know them so you can respond. Jesus had scriptures that dealt with the very thing the devil was tempting him with. Find scriptures that deal with that temptation that you know you might have. Number two. I'm going to call it live in dependency. Live in dependency. Not independency. Not self-sufficiency. Live in dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Live in dependency. I am going to trust the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, to speak into my heart with His Spirit to give me freedom, to give me victory, to help me to overcome. And I think that we in America have this problem as much as anybody does because we are so self-sufficient. We really don't need a lot of help from many other people. We have what we need. Generally speaking, we have what we need. If we don't have it, we can either buy it or go borrow the money to buy it. Or we can ask somebody else to help us, but it's so seldom we really need help. I'm suggesting to you that we would cultivate, think about our need of and dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Let God speak to us and live in that dependency. It's not a matter of, I figured this out, and I'm going to reason my way through this. Wait a minute. First thing we need to say, and first thing in our hearts and minds should be, Lord, what should I do here? What should I say? What should I think? How should I handle this? Let that be our basis of the way we live our life. What does the Lord want? What does God want from us? In Matthew 26, Jesus says, one place he says, Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we need to depend on the Holy Spirit, because the flesh is weak. Walk in the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. Jesus can be our example. He says, we want to be like Jesus. He says in John 6:38, he says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus' heart in everything he decided to do, he wanted to make sure that it was the Father's will, not his will necessarily. Live in dependency upon God giving us direction. Now I'm not saying God's going to speak into our hearts a word that we audibly hear, anything like that. He can. He has before. But I am saying that as we, in our hearts and our minds and in our thoughts, we live in dependency. Lord, I need you to help me do this. I need you to give me wisdom and direction. What I should do with this situation, whatever it is that comes in. What do I do with this thought? Live in dependency upon, like Jesus did, not to do mine own will, but the will of God. How many times have we fallen into sin because we just simply did our own will? We never fall into sin doing the will of the Father. Again, in Matthew, Jesus says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Live in dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Live in dependency. I have to know. And you know how it's a decision in the heart, in the mind, that says, I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to only do what the will of the Father is. I'm going to only do that. Cultivate that thought in your mind. I only want to do his will. Prayer is the avenue to the Father. Prayer, relating with God, speaking with God, that's the avenue. That's how we're going to hear from God, at least one way we're going to hear from God. It's not the only way, but that's one way. And that's certainly our, in the offensive position we can be in, I don't mean that in a bad way, I mean in the position of making the effort to go forth instead of defensive. We're making the effort to go forth. We're making the effort to come to know God. In that spirit, prayer is that spirit. It is our avenue. Back when I was young, we had streets in our little town of Eaton, Ohio. We had streets and we had avenues. The avenues, the one avenue I can think of was a wide street. It was old, it was wide, and the houses were set back. It was a very nice section of town, with big, large trees growing up there, maple trees growing all along the, and it was a beautiful place. We loved to go through, especially in the fall, the trees turn color. I like to think that was an avenue. It was a place of beauty. It was a place where we loved to go. We loved to walk in that avenue. Prayer is our avenue. It's a beautiful place to go. Number three. Let me go back. Number one and number two. Let me go back and reiterate those. Number one, God's word. Number two, dependency on the Holy Spirit. Live in dependency. Number three, guard your heart. Watch. Be careful. Think about what you're thinking about. Watch your thoughts. Think about those things. Guard your eyes. Guard your desires. In other words, we might see something we'd like to have or like to whatever it is, or like to be, whatever it is. Guard those desires to make sure they are holy, righteous desires. Guard your eyes that you look on things that are holy, not on things that are unholy. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Well, let me say this much more. As you begin to and as you, I'm sure you're doing, as you begin to develop a habit of guarding your heart, your eyes, your desires, of guarding those things, you'll begin to see, and I'm sure you've already all experienced this, you'll begin to see that the temptation is not as strong, that you're able to overcome as you continue to guard. You just keep those things out. They're not allowed in. Guard your heart. Watch your thoughts. Guard your eyes. Look for the patterns that you can see as you do that, and you're going to see victory patterns. I'm suggesting to you, as you continue to continually guard these things, you're going to see, I'm able to, by the grace of God, to deal with these things. And then another one comes. The devil doesn't ever quit with one little thing. He never says, I can't get him anymore, and never tries anymore. He always tries something else. Watch the patterns that you can see as you guard yourself, as you guard your eyes, your heart, all those things. You'll begin to see victory. It's like one song says in our songbook, each victory will help you another to win. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When I talk about the heart, that is including the mind and all that comes from it. It's the mind, it's the thoughts, it's the heart is that thing. It's not something I can portray to you. I mean, I have a physical heart, you have a physical heart, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the heart that is the intentions, the motivations, the motives behind you. That's your heart. I'm going to ask you this question, and you tell me, you don't need to tell me anything, but I'm just going to throw it out to you. Is it possible that every sin we commit twice? Every sin we commit twice, I'll give it as a question. I'm not sure. I probably haven't thought through everything. The first sin is allowing the thought in our minds. The second sin is doing it. If it's an action sin. Is it possible we do that twice? Just think about it. Seldom do we ever unthinkingly commit a sin. That comes pretty close to innocence and ignorance. If I don't know it's wrong, I go down a one-way street and I don't know it's one way. Did I commit a sin? Well, yes, but yet, did I? Seldom, if ever, maybe never, do we ever commit a sin without thinking about it first. Watch what you're thinking. Think about what you're thinking about. You all know the verse there in Job. He says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. I have set a guard on my eyes. I've set a guard on my thoughts. I've set a guard on my desires. He goes on and said, is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Could I not expect destruction to my soul and severe punishment for my sin? Is what Paul or Job is saying there. And he goes on, doth not he see my ways and count my steps? God sees all my ways and nothing is hidden from him. And Job goes on and says, if I have walked with vanity or if my foot have hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance or a fair balance. Let me be weighed in a balance that God might know mine integrity. That's Job's prayer. That can be our prayer. And in fact, it should be our prayer. We need to know who we are before God before that final day when we can no longer change it. Think about who you are. Now here comes the scripture I talked about earlier briefly. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These are our weapons. This is what we do. They're not carnal, but mighty through God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to what is right. Every thought. We have a job to do. And it's not a little job. We need to take every thought captive. We need to control our minds. We need to be aware when the devil is attempting to steal something from us or to get in there. We need to take that thought, capture it. Don't let it sprout its little things off to the side and taint you in other ways. Even little sub-thoughts that might come. Take that thought. Is this good or is this bad? This is good. I can think on that. Is this bad? I cannot. I'm throwing it out. Guard your heart. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let us walk in clear paths. Walking in clear paths that are not in any way suggestive or indicative of anything that might be questionable. Walking clear paths. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh and fulfill the lust thereof. Make no provision for the flesh. A little practical here. Stay away from those private places that allow you to think or act out questionable things. Stay away from those private places or those places where you find yourself drawn into some kind of temptation. Stay away from them. I'm going to go a little farther and say, stay away from the internet if it's a temptation to you, to sin or to distraction or to a waste of time. Stay away from it. Stay away from friends that don't draw you the right direction. If they're friends, stay away from those things. Stay away. Stay away from music that draws you down into spiritual, what's the right word? A weakened state of spirituality is what I wrote here. Stay away from that kind of music. Stay away from it. It's a choice. It's guarding. It's guarding. Guarding your mind. Stay away from YouTube if it distracts you from better things. I'm not saying YouTube's all wrong. I've used it before. But I'm saying if it's a distraction and if it causes you to sin in any way or to cause you to lower your resistance or it causes you to become a little more complacent, stay away from it. We have one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Guard your heart and guard it well. Number four, use the replacement principle that the Bible talks about. Replacement principle. These are ways to guard your heart, guard your thoughts. Use the replacement principle. And this is it. Let me read these scriptures. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to his lust. Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, strife, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And Colossians 3:9 is the fulfillment of that replacement principle. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, excuse me, that was Romans 13:14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Replace these things that are wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ. Use the replacement principle. And that principle requires, to put that on, requires some effort. That requires a diligent guarding of the heart. Study of God's Word. And a dependency on the Holy Spirit. It requires that. That replacement principle requires something of us. Your tire wears out on your car. You have to replace it. You can't just wish that tread was back on there. You have to do something about it. Same way here. Put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he represents is simply that desire to do only the will of my Father which is in heaven. Put on that principle. Put off these other things. Put on this. That replacement principle. Pursue after God. Pursue hard after God. You know, sometimes we put a lot of effort into fleshly fulfillment. We do. Not saying it's all wrong. But I'd like to challenge myself and you as well. Maybe I should pursue just as hard or harder, at least as hard, to pursue after God. We go to great extents to entertain ourselves. I'm not saying it's all wrong. But I am saying, though, let's go to a greater extent to pursue after God. Matthew 12, verse 43 through 45, Jesus is telling the little story here of the unclean spirit who's gone out of a man. He walketh through dry places, seeking rest, findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself to enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. This man did not use the put-on principle. The replacement principle. Sure, get rid of those things in your life. Absolutely, get rid of those things. Deal with those things. Have your mind in control. Replace it with something. Number five. I'm going to call this one the power of fellowship. Use the power of fellowship. Hebrews says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The power of fellowship. I could have used the word accountability, and maybe it's a better word, I'm not sure. But the power that there is in having people around you that can help you. People coming together and exhorting one another. He says, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting. Use that power. Let others help us to exhort us and to show us and to point us in the right direction. Use the power of fellowship or the power of accountability. There's power there. Hebrews 10 talks about that. And number six. And this one maybe should have been first. I don't know. It's where it came in my notes. And maybe I've already said this, and I probably have in some ways, but I'm going to say it again. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Emphasis being two things, faith and Jesus. Maybe three things. Put faith, Jesus. Put your faith there. I'm trusting God. I am going to trust him that what he says is true. What he is willing to do, he will do. And I am going to wait on him. He's going to be the one I am depending on and trusting. Put your faith. You know, I can talk about all these things I've already said. And until we give our heart to the Lord Jesus, till we put our faith there, these things are going to be pretty hard to do, some of these things. And really get anything out of it. The promises Jesus gives is based on our faith in him and his power. His promises of good and help are not for the unbelieving. there for the believing, there for the faithful, those full of faith, those full of trust. And one more, listen, I could probably talk about this a while, but I'm not going to. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Finally, brethren, think on these things. And I'll just give you this just briefly here. You know, sometimes you might think things that are true, but they're not of good report. They're not lovely. Take this little test. Is this thing true? Is it lovely? Is it not gossip of good report? Is it pure? Is it a good thing? Again, maybe that's using the Word of God. Maybe that's up in the second point. But it's using the Word of God to consider what is truth, what is right, what is holy. But take that little test. There's some of these things, and you read over that. I'm not going to take time to go through it. You read over it. What's everything that's true? Okay, is it true? Yes, it's true. Is it lovely? No, it's not lovely. Well, then maybe I shouldn't think about it. Be careful with your thoughts. Be careful what you think. Think about what you think about. Think about what you think about. Let's kneel for prayer. Anything I've said here that's not true or not able to be understood, I pray that you would fill in the blanks. I pray that you, Lord, I've done my best. I just pray, Father, have your way now. You do the work. Pray, Father, that you help me also. I pray for all of us now, Lord. Lord Jesus, you who walked here on the earth, you who knew the thoughts and the intents of the heart, you who perceived things, I pray to you now that you would also perceive our thoughts and understand our thoughts. And tell us, Lord, tell us how we can change, how we need to improve, what we need to do different. Help us, Lord, to think about what we think about and do something with it. That we might be your people. We might be clean vessels that you could flow through us. That we could be, all of us could be usable servants of yours. You could be honored by our life, by the things we say and do and think. I pray, Father, help us each one to have the kind of heart that says, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Change us. Purify us. Help us. That sometime, Lord, this is our prayer. We would not be of those that pray, say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that? And you would say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But rather we would hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's our prayer today. Every single one of us here. We could hear those words. Well done. Well done. Help us, Lord, to become more and more conformed to your image. More and more like you. That the impression we give, that the light we shed, the example we leave, be pure and be holy. May your
kingdom come and your will be done on earth in our lives. Here, just like it is in heaven. Perfect. In Jesus' name, Lord, hear our prayer for your glory.